Please take your Bibles, open them to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1206. That's 1206. And we'll be reading the first three verses. And since there are just three verses to read, we will read them all together. And let's stand, please, as is our custom to do here at First Baptist Church. And let's begin together here on the very first verse. Ready? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed to the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And let's pray. And Father, what a wonderful book we have. Thank you that we have the preserved Word of God. And thank you that we have it this morning. We've been here many, many times. And some of those who visit with us have likewise been here many times. Always the book has been opened. Always it's been preached with power. Help us never to get used to it. Help us to find something here this morning that will keep us going, or keep us encouraged and strengthened spiritually, and help that thou wouldst meet with us in another demonstration of your power and blessing. And so we pray for your help and power for our preacher, and give us likewise thy Spirit's power to listen, to concentrate upon that which is preached, and to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, it is 11:34. We always finish preaching before 12:10. Usually it's by 12 o'clock, and I think this morning I'll make that deadline. We dismissed the service. We stopped baptizing at 12:30 every Sunday, and before 12:30, and then finish baptizing after the folks are gone. I hope we can keep that schedule today. I promise you that I'll try to do so. Now, I want to ask you to do something. I want you to put up your pens, your pencils, your paper. I want you to put up your cameras, everything. And I want you to give me your attention for about 25 minutes. I want to apologize this morning to those of you that are God's children. If you know that you're going to heaven when you die, normally on Sunday morning, I would say 50 of the 52 Sunday mornings a year, I speak to encourage you, to comfort you, to challenge you. Once or twice, or maybe three times a year, I speak to those who do not know they're going to heaven. I apologize to those of you that know you're going to heaven, though I always believe that God's people love to hear the gospel preached also. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. For when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, it's just going to be the old story that I've loved so long. So I'm going to ask you this morning, if you would please, listen very carefully. I'll ask that no one leave the service. I ask that no one enter the building who's not in. Those of you ushers will say, help me there. And for the next few minutes, I want us to center our attention. I want to talk this morning to those of you that have any doubt at all about your eternity or your preparedness to go to heaven when you die. Our Heavenly Father, speak to my heart this morning, and through me to the hearts of the people. May I have their attention. I'll do my best, I promise you, but my best is not enough. I need your help. I need your power. I need your strength. And so I ask you for it, please. Amen. to those of you this morning who have the slightest doubt about your hope for heaven, do I have good news for you? I'm going to tell you this morning, listen carefully now, I'm going to tell you this morning, by the way, no teenagers talking, no children misbehaving, nobody walking around the building, listen carefully. I'm going to tell you something that can happen to you today. I mean, before you walk out those doors, the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to you can happen to you this morning. Right here in this building, within 30 minutes, the most amazing thing that's ever happened to you or ever will happen to you can take place. Before you walk out those doors today, let me tell you quickly what can happen to you today. You can walk out those doors after a while with your sins transferred to the record of Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I said? I said this morning, you may have walked in this room with all of your sins charged to your record, but you can walk out those doors this morning with every sin that you've ever committed transferred to the record of Jesus Christ Himself. I mean, right now. I mean, you don't have to join a church. You don't have to take communion. You don't have to take the sacraments. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to be a Baptist or a Catholic or a Presbyterian or a Lutheran or Christian Reformed. Any of that. I mean, right here this morning, you can have your sins transferred to the record of Jesus Christ. That means that before you leave this room this morning, your record in heaven can be as clear as the record Jesus' record Himself. I mean, before you leave, not one sin will be left on your record. Boy, that's a pretty good news to me. Not one single sin, are you listening to me, will be on your record. That isn't all. Oh, you say to the house, what if I go out and sin again? I'm glad you asked that because I wanted to answer it anyway. I'll tell you what. You know that you can walk out those doors this morning not only with every sin wiped off your record and every sin placed on the record of Jesus Christ, but you can walk out those doors this morning with the assurance that never again will a sin that you commit be placed against your record in heaven. Not a one. The Bible said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. That word impute means record or put on your record. Are you listening to me? Did you hear that, unconverted person? Did you hear that, doubting person? Did you hear that, one who's wondering, if you died today, what would happen to you? I'm saying this morning, before you walk out those doors, these miracles can take place. Your record can be wiped clean and all your sins transferred to Jesus Christ. But hey, not one single sin will ever be recorded on your record. But let me go a step further and tell you something more wonderful than that. Before you leave this building this morning, all the goodness of Jesus Christ can be placed on your record. Did you hear that? All those old sins you've committed wiped off your record in heaven, and never again a sin recorded against you, but against your name, the mercy of Christ, the grace of Christ, the goodness of Christ, the love of Christ can be written on your record this morning. Why don't you say amen? I mean, boy, this is your lucky day. You didn't come to a church this morning where they're going to tell you, go out and live a good life forever, and you may go to heaven someday. We're not talking about it forever. We're talking about right now. We're talking about at this moment, in this room, before you walk out those doors, all of your sins can be erased from your record, placed on the record of Jesus Christ, never a sin placed against your record again, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ placed on your record. But that isn't all. Before you leave this morning, you can have your name written in the book of life in heaven. It's heaven's roll of citizenship. Look at me now. You can this morning. Are you listening to me? You can this morning walk out those doors with your name written down in heaven in the book of life as an eternal citizen of the heavenly city. All of that can take place this morning. Oh, I know what you're saying. Hurry up and tell me what to do. I've got to tell you some other good news first, and then I'll tell you what to do. Before you leave this morning, all this can happen. That isn't all. Did you know at this moment you can become a child of God? A child of the King. A child of God.
You can be born into God's family right here in this room. You walked in the room this morning, not a child of God. You can walk out those doors a child of God with your record clean, your sins recorded against Jesus, His righteousness placed on your record. Glory to God, that's what can happen to you this morning. But that isn't all. You can walk out those doors this morning a new person. Well, you wives are praying for your husbands right now, aren't you? You can walk out a new person. Let me illustrate. These three men, stand up right here, please. I'm going to let these three men, and we've done this before, of course. This represents the triune man. Man is a threefold creature by creation. When God made man, He made man. They call this the tricontinence theory in theology. But He made man a threefold creature, a body and a soul and a spirit. Now, the body, is that what you see? This amazing hook that you see, or book, whichever you want to put it. This God made you a body. That's what you can see. But God put something in that body that enables you to fellowship with other people. And that is a soul. A soul is that which enables you to love your wife, to fellowship with your wife and your husband, and with your friend. Wake up now, we're having church this morning. So that's a body. But God also made you when He made man in the Garden of Eden. He made man a spirit. Now that spirit is that which can fellowship with God. The body can't fellowship with God. The soul can't fellowship with God. Only the spirit can fellowship with God. And the Bible says the body can't live forever. And the soul can't live forever. But the spirit can live forever. So God made man a body, a soul, and a spirit. But something happened. Man sinned. When man sinned, that spirit died, leaving man a body and a soul. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, you are a twofold creature. You are a body and a soul. But that body and soul cannot live forever. The Bible said, fear not him that can destroy just the body, but can destroy both body and soul. So the body and soul can't live. Now, that means that if you die, just a twofold creature, don't miss this, then you can't go to heaven because you have nothing that can live forever. Only the spirit can live forever. So, now you can doctor this body up here. It needs a lot of help, I see. But you can doctor this body up here and you can make it a nice body and a clean body and a pure body and a chaste body and a holy body, but it's still a body and it's going to die someday. Or you can doctor the soul up. You can make it a nice soul, a friendly soul, a courteous soul, a kind soul, a gracious soul, a loving soul, but it can't live, go to heaven because it's going to die someday. Now, listen carefully. From the moment that you're born to the moment you die, you've got to get that spirit alive or you can't live in heaven forever. Or you have nothing that can live forever. Now, this morning, here's what can happen. You can make a decision. I'll tell you about in a few minutes. This very moment. This morning, before you leave, before you walk out those doors, that can get that spirit back to life. Now, I don't care how good a life you live, how good a husband you are, how good a neighbor you are, how good a citizen you are, how many good deeds you do, you still got a body and a soul, and they can't live forever. But this morning, let me show you what can happen. Your spirit can come back to life. And then one day, when your life is finished, and your body dies, and your soul dies, your spirit will still be alive, and you can go to heaven when you die. Are you listening to me? That means, ladies and gentlemen, that's what the Bible says when you've got to get born again. It means that dead spirit that died because of sin must come back alive. If that spirit does not come back alive, it doesn't matter how many churches you join, how many times you're baptized, how many sacraments you take, that will not let your body and soul live forever. Only the spirit can live forever. And this morning, right here in this room, your spirit can come back to life and you can live forever someday. Thank you. And I said, this morning, in this room, before you leave, you can have your sins transferred to the record of Christ. I said before you leave this morning, you can have your record clear. I said before you leave this morning, you can have it secured, be secured and assured that your sins in the future will not be written against you as far as God's judicial accounts are concerned. I said this morning, not only before you leave, you can have the righteousness of Jesus Christ recorded on your record. I said, before you leave, your record can be like his. He'll place your name in the book of life. Think about that. Write your name in the Lamb's book of life, and you'll be a citizen of the holy city, and then you'll become a child of God. And then a new person born in you, and that means that you will go to heaven when you die. Now look at me. Everybody look at me. We may not come from the same background socially. We may not have the same financial net worth. We may have educational differences. We may have denominational differences. I'm not here trying to make a Baptist out of you. I'm here to tell you there's one thing you want to do. You hope there's a heaven, and you hope that you can go there when you die. Pick up the Hammond Times sometime and look at those memorial announcements they have. So-and-so memorial to so-and-so. And almost always it says, who went to heaven 2 years ago? Who went to heaven 4 years ago? I don't care how hard you are, how mean you are. I don't care if you're an atheist. You wish there were some place with streets of gold and gates of pearl where nobody ever gets sick again, ever die, never have any pain or suffering or sorrow. You wish it. Now this morning, let me tell you, you can walk out those doors on your way to heaven today. Think about that. Now the question is, how can this happen? Please, listen carefully. Everybody, listen carefully. Everyone, listen carefully. How can all these wonderful things happen to you this morning? Number one, God has given to man something called faith. God, that faith you have in anything is God-given. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, our text, it says that God has given a measure of faith to every man. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The faith that you have is a gift of God. In Habakkuk 2, 4, it says, the just shall live by his faith. So God, hear me now, God has given you that faith you have in your wife. God gave you that faith. That faith you have in your husband. God gave you that faith. That faith you have in me, God gave you that faith. That faith you have in your parents, God gave you that faith. By nature, man does not trust. The trust that we have is given by God. Now then, carefully listen to me. You can choose. Don't miss it. You can choose where to place that faith. Brother Colston, I'm going to give you some money. I changed your mind. I'm going to give it to, I want this boy right here to come up here. No, not you, son, the little one. Well, you saw that $10 bill? The ears began to twitch, didn't they? Okay. Now, we're just playing like, I want this back. You understand that? Okay. I'm giving you a $20 bill. Now, there are numbers of things you can choose to do with that. You can choose to go out and get drunk if you want to. Is that your choice? You can choose to go out if you want to and buy yourself all the hamburgers and hot dogs you can eat and all the milkshakes. Is that your choice? It's your choice. All right? Now, he can do what he wants to with that. Or he can, if he wants to, do this. He can give it back to me. And I think he made a wise choice. Now, wait a minute. God has given to you faith just like I gave. Wait a minute. Just like I gave to this boy this $20 bill. I said again, anything that you, in which you have faith, that faith is a gift of God. For grace is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The just shall live by his faith, not your faith, his faith. God has given to every man a measure of faith, a gift from God. Now, you can decide, just like he has to decide where he puts this $20 bill, you can decide where to put your faith. Hear me carefully. You can put that faith in a man if you want to. A man like me. And trust what I do. If I give you a little piece of wafer, you can put your faith in me if you want to. Or you can confess your sin to me if you want to. Or you can do the same thing to a rabbi, or a priest, or a pope, or any kind of a minister, and put your faith in. But the trouble is, I'm a man too. And so is the rabbi. And so is the priest. And for your information, so is the pope. So they've got their own sins to answer for. They can put your faith in them. They're men too. Or you could put it in a group of people called a church if you want to. Now, people that trust church membership to save them are no different than folks that trust the preacher, or the pope, or the rabbi, or the priest to save them or absolve their sins. Because if one man can't save you, a bunch of folks getting together can't save you either. So, or you could put that faith, if you would, in yourself. You could say, I'll put that faith in myself because I believe I can live a good enough life to get to heaven. But that seems sort of risky to me. Or you could put that faith in a piece of bread. Or a bit of water. Or a cup of juice. But that sounds sort of silly. Do you mean you're going to trust your eternal, never dying soul to a piece of bread? Or a tank of water? Or a glass of water? Or a fountain of water? Or a sacrament? Or another juice? Hold it. Wait a minute. There is another alternative. You can take the faith that God has given you and put it right back in the one who gave it to you. You can keep that, son. Thank you for your help. Boy, I was looking for a dollar, but didn't have one in my pocket. Did you hear what I said? You said, Brother Howard, it can't be that easy. Well, listen, that's more complicated than picking a piece of bread. That's more complicated than the unholy Eucharist. That's more complicated than drinking a little bit of juice or confessing your sin to me. Ladies and gentlemen, you can have your name written in heaven. You can have your sins erased. You can have your record clear. You can have Jesus' record placed by your name. You can have your name in the book of life. You can be prepared to go to heaven when you die. All you got to do is take the faith that God gave you and put it back in Him. That's all you got to do. And when you do, your sins right now are transferred to God, to Jesus' record. And when you do, not one sin is left on your record. And when you do, not one future sin will ever be recorded against you. And when you do, the good things about Jesus are placed on your record. And when you do, your record will look like His. And when you do, He will place your name in the book of life. And when you do, you become a child of God. And when you do, best of all, that spirit that died because of sin will live again. And you, that moment that you put your faith in Christ. Let me show you. Son, come back up here and bring that with you. I want it back. I'm going to give it back to you. Let me illustrate. Fellow, stand up here. God made man a threefold creature. A body, a soul, and a spirit. Sin caused the spirit to die. I'm going to let this boy represent the will of this person here. I'm giving you this faith, son. You put that faith back in me, that is God, then the Spirit can come back to life again. So you put that faith back in me, and look what happens to the Spirit. And one day somebody will read behind the pulpit that you passed away. The funeral services will be held at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning and viewing from 10 to 11, and your body will lie in the casket. Body and soul. But look at there. Look at there. You! No wonder Brother Bordway cried while he sang about the blood a while ago. No wonder! You! You bus kid! You public school kid! You mission man! You visitors who've come! You today! This moment before you leave! You can have all these wonderful things, thank you, son, happen to you. Is what you do. First, you realize that you are a sinner, like I am, like everybody is. Second, you realize that because you're a sinner, you're under the condemnation of God. Lost. No hope for heaven. Why? Because the Spirit's dead. Thirdly, you realize that Jesus Christ paid your penalty on the cross. When He was nailed to the cross,
Every sin that you've ever committed, that I've ever committed, was charged against his record.
He stood in your place before the judgment of Almighty God and was pronounced guilty! Guilty! Guilty of his own sin, not on your life. Guilty of your sin.
And he who owed no debt paid a debt he did not owe, so that you who owe a debt will not have to pay the debt that you owe. Realize you're a sinner. Realize you're lost. Realize that Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for you. And right where you are, right now, trust him. Put that faith back in him as your hope for heaven, and your sins be wiped off your record and placed against Jesus' record, and his righteousness placed against your record, and your name written in heaven, and you will be a child of God, and you will have been born again, so that you'll have something that can live when the body and soul die. Don't leave without it. You say, preacher, what church do I join? Nobody said anything about that. And neither does the Bible. Well, what sacrament do I take? I haven't mentioned. Nobody said that you have to take any. And neither does the Bible. Sometime between the time that the doctor said it's a boy or a girl and the time the doctor says he's gone, you've got to come to a place where you realize that you're a sinner and you're lost, and Christ paid the penalty for you, and you put the faith that he gave you back in him. Sometime you got to do it. Now, you can do that at home. You can do it at work if you wanted to. You can do it on the street. You can do it driving down the street in the car. But the best place to do it is inside a church building, because, and especially this morning, because I've reminded you what to do. Right where you are, realize you're a sinner. Realize that you're under the condemnation of God, because all of us are sinners. Realize that Jesus suffered your condemnation for you on the cross. And right where you are, silently, simply say, Jesus, the faith that you gave me, I'm giving it back to you.
That moment,
all these wonderful things will transpire. No one is leaving. No one is moving. It's exactly 12 o'clock. Would you bow your heads, please?